Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast and happy
Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
That's right. It's Friday and we're here.
It's Bri-day because Bryce is here in studio with us. He needed a special day. You know how like North needed to go to Positano?
Mm-hmm.
Bryce needed to come to work with mommy.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to see his auntie. He needed to get a lay of the land. See, he's going to go check on some tech things. Apparently, we're having some issues.
It's so good to have extra support around.
Extra tech support for sure. And he really just needed to feel special. I could sense that from him. Plus, mm-hmm. It's a Friday, which is a stry day.
It's a stry day. We're feeling relaxed. Bryce is here to kind of usher us into the weekend.
Yeah. Nothing and says weekend like Bryce.
Yeah. Nothing says weekend like acknowledging the space that you're in.
This is very true.
So I would be remiss, devastated, and heartbroken if I didn't remind you all that this is the farthest away from Monday we're going to be all weekend. So enjoy it.
Ruminate.
Honor it.
Yep.
Acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
Be grateful.
Yeah. That's all you can really do.
That's all you can really do after a week of rising and grinding.
Yeah, this was a really great week, Toast and otherwise. Obviously, Spritz Peach launched yesterday.
Oh, we had our launch event.
To much fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
The peach is so delicious, you guys.
We were chugging it yesterday.
And there was just like peaches everywhere, peaches in the drinks. There was like peaches.
Peaches and cream for dessert.
But what are those gummies? Peach gummies.
Yeah, peach garnishes in the cocktails.
It was just extremely peachy.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to enjoy peach spritz this summer.
And the launch event yesterday was so fun. Like, the TikTokers came through.
Yeah.
It was really fun to get to meet. We finally met Sierra from Summer House, which I can't even believe we've never met her. I guess I just feel like we know her.
That's how you feel when you watch people on reality TV.
Yeah, so it was good to catch up with the girlies, old and new,
mm-hmm. And
really feel relevant, you know?
Yeah, did you feel at one with your TikTokers? Like, did that fulfill you?
I felt really comfortable at the table with fellow influencers, you know, fellow talkers.
Yeah, you know, I was like being the grandma learning how to use the microwave. Like, everyone you guys were talking about, I was like, who?
Yeah, you were.
I didn't know anyone.
Yeah.
There's so many new people that I don't know.
We were gossiping about like TikTok drama, and like, Jackie was like, wait, who?
Makeup artist. And I genuinely didn't know. I wasn't even just being like, oh yeah, I don't know her.
Yeah, no, you weren't being Mariah Carey. You actually didn't know her.
Literally. And I never heard of them. So that just goes to show
how it's a different planet over there.
Yeah.
But it was really fun. I was like exhausted afterwards. I guess just like, you know, drinking spritzes.
We'll do that to you.
We'll do that to you. It was really fun. And I'm excited for just like a weekend full of Bryce, Strice, Spritz, Steenie vibes.
Are you going to come over?
Sure, probably.
Do you have plans?
I mean, I have some plans, but I'm not like booked back to back. I could probably make time for Haraldson.
Yeah, come over sometime.
Yeah, he's looking so good.
He's such a cutie.
He's literally like, you know how much of inner strength it takes not to like go into your fridge, get butter and spread it over Harold and eat him? It's the hardest thing.
Imagine how I feel.
No, I know. Like, yeah. It's actually painful. They don't talk about that. Like, the pain of motherhood, like trying not to eat your child.
Meanwhile, your child's eating you.
Your child's eating you. And like, I go over there.
It's not a two-way street.
And I just nibble, you know? But like, I could be going so much harder, but I don't, obviously. But like, I could.
You could. I've had such a long morning already. I've already like nursed two times, pumped two times. I'm just being like a zombie cow. Mm-hmm. And I heard a song because I was on my new releases, my release radar, a song that just like turned my mood around. You ever have one? I'd never heard it before.
Oh, wow.
And I just want to share it with everyone.
Please.
Because it got me, like I was doing my bun and I was like,
yeah. I bet it's from TikTok.
No, no. It's Lee Bryce. And, oh, wow. And, like, Rehab remixed his song. It's called Soul by Lee Bryce, Blanco Brown, and Rehab.
Wow.
And I just want... That's my tip of the day. Like, listen to the song. I sent it to Snitch, and, of course, she was like, yeah, I know.
Of course.
Then why didn't you send it to me? If you knew, why didn't you send it to me?
So true. I actually had a similar moment like that, but it was, like, a song that I rediscovered.
What was it?
Second Wind, Kelly Clarkson's.
Gorgeous.
So I know that... Is that a Maren Morris song that Kelly covered, or is it a Kelly song that Maren Morris covered?
Kelly song that Maren Morris covered.
It's so good. Maris's is almost as good. Like, they're both really good. But that also reminds me, it's not a story, but we need to talk about Kellyoke.
We need to talk about Kellyoke because Kelly announced that she's dropping an EP of Kellyoke songs. Kellyoke is Kelly's karaoke, where she covers other songs on her
talk show.
Daytime talk show. And it's so popular, sometimes it goes viral.
And I think the impetus behind this whole album was, like, people were... unwell at her cover of Happier Than Ever by
Billie Eilish.
Is it Happier Than Ever?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so good. She does it like a, it's so Kelly. It's like Breakaway. It's like OG Kelly.
No, when she screams, just leave me alone. Like, I felt that in my soul.
And she got the curses out because she's like, you know, our daytime queen.
Yeah. She dropped those songs yesterday and so good. So fantastic.
I'm so curious what the other six songs are.
I hope Seven Rings is there because people were equally impressed by that.
Her, that was a really good cover too. I love this concept for Kelly. And she's really like, she's so good at covers. And there are artists who are like known for their covers, like Miley. And Kelly's like becoming that queen who also has like her own discography of like original bangers.
It's just sad when her covers are better than the originals.
Which do you think?
So many. Can't think of it. But a cover will never be better than an original because it's like it wouldn't exist without the original. But so many times I'm like, this is so good. And I didn't even like this song before.
What is Kelly's, what was the, a moment like this? That's not her song, right?
Yeah. Someone else.
She's singing on American Idol.
Yeah. Like that was her final song. And then it became her
song. Like her song. Yeah. Who sings the original?
I don't know.
Oh my God. I just realized something.
Some Kelly hater in their basement.
Totally.
She stole my song.
I just realized something and I just want to alert People Magazine. I forgot to wear my wedding ring today.
Oh my God. Trouble in Paradise. I want to alert People Magazine that I actually did wear my wedding ring yesterday.
I know. I saw you never wear it.
For the first time in like 2 years. And I don't know. I just was like feeling, because we were like getting all glam and I was like, what jewelry do I have? I was like, maybe I should wear my ring. Maybe I should see if it fits.
Right.
And I got it on there. Even though it's tiny.
It's the smallest ring I've ever seen in my life.
Tiny. For a while it didn't fit, like when I was mucho pregnant and then postpartum when I was swollen, but now I got it on my big fat finger.
So yeah, I don't know if Page Six wants to reach out to me for comment. My official comment is no comment.
Is there Trouble in Paradise?
No, but speaking of stuff.
Ben.
Yeah. Ben is on his way home right now on a really long flight, sitting next to Teresa Giudice. He texted me early this morning and he was like, oh my God, it's so funny. I saw Teresa from New Jersey's boyfriend in the bathroom at the airport. I'm like, LOL. And then I realized Ben was flying into Newark. I'm like, they're definitely on your flight. And he's like, oh, maybe. And he sits down and then he texts me. He's like, they're literally sitting next to me. So it's United Polaris. So the configuration is like 1-2-1. And Ben is in a two-seater with Teresa.
He should have offered to give it to Louie.
I know. She put the partition up like the second she sat down.
Oh, she had no time for him.
But I am getting little tidbits of information. He said Teresa was FaceTiming before they took off with no headphones on, which is just like not good plane etiquette. And now in the plane, in the air, she's using talk to text so he can like hear what she's texting.
That's crazy.
Let me see if he sent me any more updates.
We actually have a Teresa story today. And you know what? I'm glad he even recognized Louis because he watched the reunion with you.
And he loved the Real House Husbands. And so that's the kind of work House Husbands are doing for brand awareness.
Given that Ben is sitting next to Teresa and he has the Ben factor, I think Ben will be invited to her wedding.
I'm pretty sure Teresa's a new investor in Spritz. You didn't hear it from me, but...
I wouldn't be surprised. The plane lands. Ben is on Real Housewives of New Jersey.
We suddenly live in New Jersey.
You buy their old house.
We'll follow up on Monday's show as to what things came out of the Ben factor.
Yeah, no, but like you'll be seeing Teresa and Louis with a Spritz sponsored bar at their wedding.
100%. So maybe that's a good segue into the stories.
She'll be the new face of Pineapple Spritz.
That's
something.
You are like literally like a branding genius.
Thank you.
That's it.
Mogul.
Mogul energy.
But that is it.
We didn't get to this mogul space without ideas like that.
100%.
So I guess in honor of Teresa, we have a hilarious story about her and Ramona. So should we dive in? And we also have a TV recap. We fell behind this week a little bit, but today we're going to be covering Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and
The Kardashians.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you going to watch Real Housewives of Dubai?
Yes. And last night a little bit started playing at the end of my Beverly Hills, but I was so tired and I was like, I need all of my attention for this. Yeah. I don't want to be falling asleep and I don't want to be like waiting for it to be over so that I can sleep. So I'm going to watch it this week and I'm so excited.
Yeah, like me too. I just feel like I'm really full. Like my content plate is so full. I can barely keep up with the things I have now.
My content plate is full too. But if Dubai is amazing, which I think it's going to be, then I'm happy to include it. Like that's a delicious side dish on my plate that like you wouldn't skip over mac and cheese just because your plate was full.
I'm just getting like housewives fatigue.
Me too. But if it's not fantastic, like it could scale
back.
The cracks.
Yeah. I have scaled back like on Housewives. I'm done with OC. Mm-hmm. I haven't started Atlanta this season, even though like I heard it's really good. So like maybe I will. I'm just trying to like do less when it comes to Housewives.
Yeah, me too. I'm just trying to just watch what genuinely sparks joy for me.
Exactly.
So I'm just going to leave it to the shows to do what they will. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to be a consumer. Because again, I can't watch everything anymore like we used to.
No, I know. It was psychotic.
Yeah, psychotic.
Okay.
So without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Figs. Figs is on a mission to make awesome scrubs suited for the awesome humans working in healthcare. Forget boxy, itchy cotton scrubs. Figs are engineered to be ridiculously soft and incredibly durable. They use innovative technical comfort technology. They blend comfort, style, and durability into high-performance scrubs that help you perform at your best, whatever the day throws at you. So Figs are functional, the modern-day scrub, but with a focus on design, function, and comfort. They have a proprietary four-way stretch fabric for a ridiculously soft feel. They're moisture-wicking, anti-wrinkle, and anti-odor thanks to the Silvador antimicrobial technology. If you don't know where to start with Figs, their super popular core scrubs never go out of stock or style. Mix and match any core scrubs with each other for a quick wardrobe refresh. So obviously if you work in healthcare, like scrubs are not that comfortable, they're not that stylish. So if you want to take like your day-to-day to another level, check out Figs. They're so comfortable. And obviously I'm not a nurse, but I do have two pairs because I value comfort. And I lay around in my house like in comfortable things, and I fucking love my Figs. Can I just say, like, they're extremely comfortable. Like if you can wear them in a bed, like you're gonna save lives as a nurse. Like it's simple science. Mm-hmm. Figs believes the awesome humans in healthcare deserve scrubs that match. So head to wearfigs.com and use code TOAST to get 15% off your first order. That's WEARFIGS.com, code TOAST for 15% off your first order.
Okay, thank you, Claudia. Our first story is Platinum Jubilee news overall. There's a bunch of things going on. First, yesterday, Queen Elizabeth pulled out of the Jubilee appearance after experiencing discomfort at the Trooping of the Color. So with great reluctance, the Queen announced that she would not be attending the National Service of Thanksgiving at St. Paul's Cathedral on Friday, which was today. The Queen cited some discomfort after the Trooping of the Color celebration.
Yeah, obviously, she's 96.
The Queen said, this shit is torture.
No, the Queen said, like, my ass stood on that balcony in the hot sun for literal hours waving to people I don't know. I'm 96 years old. Like, I'm taking tomorrow off.
Yeah, I gave you everything. I'm not sitting through a 3-hour service, like, please.
On a hard church pew.
Please respect my boundaries.
Yeah, I feel like people are like, oh no, is she okay? She's fine. Like, I'm 27 and even I would need to have taken tomorrow off after what yesterday was. So, like, I don't think there's a big story here. I just think, first of all, you have to walk up a lot of stairs. It's a long, hard day. She had a long, hard day yesterday. Like, give the Queen a motherfucking break.
No, and it's not like she's wearing Allbirds.
Right, she's wearing heels.
Her little kitten heels.
She's carrying around her purse. She's wearing her hat, a coat, a dress. It's a lot.
It's a lot. Probably, you know, Spanx, not Skims, because we have another story about Kim X Queenie.
I just think there was a lot of clickbait around here, and I'm like fairly certain the Queen is fine.
No, and this is unbelievably relatable because like these days are so long, and she is
the center,
96 years old. Even at 29, I'd say this shit is torture.
100%. Like, give the Queen a day. She'll be back on her feet tomorrow.
Yeah, normalize giving the Queen some time off.
I do think like a 4-day Jubilee like might have been like an over.
But we're just so excited.
I know.
And they're so excited. I mean, we. Them, the family, the people. I would say, like, let's keep celebrating.
Yeah, the church event was nice because we got like hardcore paparazzi pictures of everyone. Everyone was there, Meghan and Harry. They all looked great. Kate looked great. Meghan and Harry were noticeably like not sitting in the premium section. Like, they were in like a back row on the other side.
Yeah, the second row.
Second row, but not the first row.
Not the first row. Right. And
anything beyond the first row is not is the back row.
100%. Also, William and Kate didn't bring Prince Louis because of his antics yesterday.
Clickbait.
I'm assuming.
But it's also a lot for a kid.
No,
like,
but like, he's a kid. And that was so cute. He wasn't misbehaving. He was just being a kid.
No, I don't think he was misbehaving. And I don't think that they think he was misbehaving. But on a balcony outside, like, you're free to scream or whatever. But in a closed church, like, kids are notoriously antsy in church.
100%. He was back hanging with the Queen saying, we got away.
Granny, let's turn on HBO Max and watch the Prince.
Yeah, that was really, really cute. And I think people enjoy that.
The royals are so unrelatable in so many ways. But, like, kids... Kids will be kids. And, like, kids acting out, like, that is the great equalizer. Like, mm-hmm. No matter how many nannies you have, how many palaces you live in, like, kids are going to be kids.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they were upset about that. Like, it's so cute, honestly.
No, it's so cute. And if, like, that's the takeaway from yesterday, great.
Yeah.
It's been really sweet. And then also, Kim Kardashian is in London with Pete Davidson. We were questioning whether they would go to the Jubilee or not. There was an article written yesterday that, like, Kim has been begging, pleading to get into the Platinum Jubilee party. And
she even said she would take a not VIP ticket.
Right. And the palace said no.
Kim also went to the BBC, allegedly asking for tickets from them. They turned her down.
And now Page Six is reporting that Kim didn't try to attend the Queen's Platinum Jubilee with Pete. Kim and Pete never attempted to keep up with the royal family, contrary to the report claiming that they were denied tickets. A rep for Kardashian tells Page Six exclusively that Kim, quote, didn't even ask to go to Queen Elizabeth II's historic event and actually returned to LA on Wednesday, the day before the festivities began, for a pre-planned cover shoot. Page Six is told that they were in London to support a secret project that Pete is working on.
So here's the thing. Yes, they left Wednesday, but maybe because they couldn't get tickets, you know? So I don't know if this is, like, Kim covering her ass.
I don't know. When I read that she was, like, really trying to go, the article also said she's, like, rarely in the UK. So for her to be there that week, like, shows that maybe she was going in hopes that she could go to the event. Like, I found that to be so relatable.
Right.
And there was, like, a quote that, like, Kim and Pete love the royal family and they just want to be a part of the day. And I was like, if I was Kim, that's exactly what I would do.
Yeah, so I don't know if... these conflicting reports, like, I don't know what the truth is. Either way, I don't think it makes, like, obviously Kim doesn't want to be, like, publicly denied something. So if she is denying it, like, I understand her reasoning. But, like, it's cute. Like,
it's so cute.
But what is Kim's relationship with Meghan Markle, if any?
I don't think there is one.
Maybe because, like, literally the Kardashians are the royals of America, but, like, so are Harry and Meghan, you know?
I don't think there is one because if there was one, we would know. If there was anything.
Yeah, no, and Megan's pretty public about, like, what Hollywood star she's friends with. I know she's really good friends with Serena Williams, Priyanka Chopra. Mm-hmm. I've never seen her and Kim in the same room.
And I feel like if they were friends, like, Megan would be in the Skims campaign, something. You know,
there would be something.
There would be anything.
Yeah.
Even on the new show, they're name dropping all the time. Mm-hmm. On the board for yes. Julius Jones. Mm-hmm. I didn't see Megan and Harry, did you?
No, that's a really good call.
So, because if they were friends, she could text Megan.
Right, for a ticket. Even though I don't know if Megan's in a position to be, like, doling out free tickets, you know?
Guests of guests.
Because she, right.
Don't invite guests.
Right, she's already, like, unstable in her, like, where does she stand in the family?
Yeah.
So, I don't know what the truth is. Either way, like.
I'm hoping that it's true that she really wanted to go. Because I love that for
her. Because then, like, she's a queeniefile.
She's a queeniefile, which we love. And she said on the Kardashians this week, like, she's not chasing anything anymore. And really, every door is open to her. There's nothing she can't do. Like, she can walk right into the Met Gala, right
onto the cover
of Vogue, the White House, etc. She can't walk into Buckingham Palace. Now she's going to make it her mission.
Yeah. That's true. I guess we'll find out what the truth is.
And I think she wants a little bit of a challenge. It's been a few years
since she's had to work for something.
Since something was denied her. She works for everything.
No, that's not what I meant. You know, like, work to get access. Like, the access is there.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the truth is, but you know what? I'm enjoying the story.
Like, she could literally go to outer space if she wanted to. She's friends with Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, she could. That's crazy.
She likes a challenge.
Yeah. So if she makes her way ever into Buckingham Palace, then we'll know that the story of her wanting tickets was true.
Yeah. And I hope that it's true. And if it's not, like, whatever. It was just another fun thing that we got to talk about.
And I guess...
And, like, fan fiction about.
If there is a cover, like, we'll have to see it, right? Didn't she say she was there shooting a cover? Like...
Oh, yeah, but there's always a cover.
I know.
You know?
Totally.
And or whatever Pete is working on in London maybe will bear fruit sometime.
I wonder what he's doing. I wonder what he's going to do now, like, post-SNL. Obviously, he does stand-up. He does, like, a little bit of acting. But, like, maybe Kris Jenner will take him on as a client.
She would be really good for him. She'll probably do more stand-up. He'll be based in L.A., probably more movies.
Yeah.
And maybe just, like, a stay-at-home stepdad.
General, just, like, doing a celebrity, like, what celebrities do.
And I think just, like, being supportive to Kim. Like, Kim needs support. She's doing everything all at once.
I know.
And she needs someone she can lean on. Like, maybe that's his role.
I know. And I get so excited, especially, like, in this most recent episode of The Kardashians. There was a lot of Pete talk. I get so excited about, like, the potential there. But then, like, I'm constantly reminded of their age difference. It's, like, really big.
Yes.
Like, does Pete want to have more kids? I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
It's like one of those situations where it's like,
eventually will the age...
Right. Maybe it's like right person, wrong time. Like, you know?
I wonder if Kim would have more kids. Yeah, I think she would. She said in that interview when they were all sitting with Access Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
when they were promoting...
That she would have more
Kardashian's Hulu, that she wants, like, as many kids as her mom had.
No, for sure. But, like, also you are limited biologically. Like, she's, what, like, 42?
Yeah, but science
no, for is sure. doing things. For sure. But, like, these are the things you have to think about when you're in a relationship with someone who's also, at a different, like, pace in their life.
She had two kids via surrogate. She might have frozen eggs already.
Oh, that's for sure.
She probably yeah, does.
She probably does. Eggs. That's true. That's true.
So, kids are on the table.
So, I'm, like, excited about them. But I'm also just cautious of the age difference.
Yeah, no, I think this is so real. When she was talking about him yesterday, and the fact that she is talking about him on the show yesterday when I was watching the episode, and it's been like 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
This is a real deal.
No, it's so crazy.
Beyond. Anyways, wish they would have been at the Platinum Jubilee.
But totally.
Maybe next decade.
Maybe next decade.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Matthew Morrison. Well, you are ready because you actually picked the stories yes. today. I think it's important to let everyone know.
Yeah.
When... Just in case.
I just want to say, like, I get a lot of positive feedback when I choose the stories. Like, I don't want the job. I think it's literally the worst job as part of the toast. And so I'll do it every once in a while. And, like, today I happened to get here 45 minutes early. Like, my biological clock was off. So I did what I had to do. And I didn't mind it, but I refused to take it on at okay. full time.
Well, it should come as no surprise since Claudia chose the stories. Matthew Morrison reads the alleged text that he sent to this So You Think You Can Say Yes to the Dress contestant. He said, I have nothing to hide. So Matthew Morrison claims the alleged text he said to the contestant on the dance show, which led to his abrupt exit as a judge, was not inappropriate. He made a video saying it's really unfortunate that I have to sit here and defend myself and my family against blatantly untrue statements made anonymously, but I have nothing to hide. So in the interest of transparency, I will read you the one message that I wrote to a dancer on the show. He proceeded to read the alleged text, but did not show his phone or any screenshots right. of their conversation on camera. Right. He said, hey, it's Matthew. If you don't mind, would love to get your number and talk you through some things, the message read.
How do you message someone without their number?
DM.
Oh.
The message read, according to Matthew Morrison, who claims he sent it because he and the unnamed individual share a mutual respect for the same choreographer. He said, I've known the choreographer for over 20 years and was trying to help her get a job as a choreographer on the show. It's devastating that we live in this world where gossip rules and people's lives are being thrown around as clickbait.
All right, relax, first of all. He was so emphatic and, like, really defensive, which is just, like, makes you look guilty. And so, one, I thought it was interesting that he didn't show the phone.
Okay.
Two, I just have a hard time believing, like, there was one message sent via DM and Fox did a whole investigation and decided to fire him. Like, that's just not logical. Like, the way he explains it, like, there's a huge chunk missing.
Interesting.
You think Fox wants, like, a big scandal around their show with an inappropriate host? No.
No. That's true.
And so, like, first of all, maybe he's just, like, a creepy person, but even the way he read that first text message, I'm like, ew, like, you are creepy. Like, you are. So even if that was the extent of it, like, I can understand someone who's in a position, like a vulnerable position, being like creeped out by him because he's just like a creepy person. But I believe that there's more there. I don't think Fox does a whole investigation, this is blowing up. I don't think that they would go through all of that for one message.
Yeah. Well, I do hope that if there is more that we do find out, but also just reading this message, like with the context of like this choreographer, whatever, sure, it seems less nefarious, but remember the power dynamics of a competition mm-hmm. show. Imagine like Simon Cowell
and DMs, a celebrity and a layperson.
Yeah, and Simon Cowell DMs a contestant Camila on Cabello. The show saying, hey, it's Simon. If you don't mind, would love to get your number and talk through some things. Like,
creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah, and you're not, there's such like a separation.
You're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Like maybe afterwards they could have connected, but like it crosses a line and I do believe that there was more.
Okay, but say there wasn't more and that's it.
It's still creepy.
Yeah, given the dynamics of this sort of show.
And just given his vibe. Like, I know that's weird. Like, everyone should be treated equal, but like, I can't explain it. Like, if Kevin Jonas sent a message, I'd be like, oh man, he's so sweet. You know what I mean? Like, is that wrong to say? Like, he gives off like a really kind of weird vibe.
It's not wrong to say, but is it wrong in principle?
I don't know.
I feel like it is. Like, you can't be...
I can't be a moral compass. I don't know. All I'm just saying is my feelings. Like,
I know.
And I think, like, a lot of people find him, like, weird and creepy and nefarious.
They do find him extremely nefarious.
So, like, maybe if it had come from someone else and if this was the only message sent, that person wouldn't have felt, like, threatened.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the vibe that he gives off. Like, people find him really creepy. It's true.
They do. Yeah.
Because he's always like making weird faces and dancing with the kids on Glee.
Yeah, of course.
Mr. Glee's being brought to Disney Plus. You know, it was taken off Netflix and I was like quaking for a while, but I believe it's on, or was it Hulu? No, I think it was Disney Plus. I don't know.
I feel like Hulu. I can't remember. Because Glee was on Fox.
I know, but like that shit never makes sense.
No, it doesn't. But Hulu has, I mean, Disney Plus has High School Musical, the musical series, which is modern Glee.
Right, that's true.
I just don't see Glee on Disney Plus. I just don't.
Yeah, okay. It's going somewhere. So for the Gleeks, just know, like, it's not over for us.
It's never over.
But this is just, like, the continuation of the Glee curse. Like, the Glee curse is fucking real.
Yeah.
It is real.
Yeah.
So this is just one more...
domino.
In the Glee effect.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Ramona Singer leaked Teresa Giudice and Luis Ruelas.
Luis. I can never say his name.
No, it's not Luis. It's Louis. I said it wrong, too. It's Louis. Wait, it is.
Louis?
Louis.
Yeah, I can never. When I was here with Brian.
I watched your episode with TVG the entire time you guys were calling him Louis.
I couldn't remember his name.
And neither could Brian. Louis.
But it's spelled L-U-I-S. Louis is L-O-U-I-E. Sorry.
That's one way to spell it.
So if you want to be called Louis, you have to spell your name that way. Otherwise, your name is Louis in my book.
Okay, so it's Louis Vuitton.
Who?
Louis Vuitton.
Louis Vuitton is French or whatever, so they got their own shit over there. I'm talking about here.
Louis Vuitton.
Louis.
Ramona leaked their wedding
date. Even Louis Vuitton makes mistakes.
Ramona leaked their wedding date and location.
She took a whole picture of the fucking invitation. What did she think was going to happen?
Oh, that's so funny. What's wrong
with it? It had the website.
Yeah.
The website password. And on the website, it had the guest list, the event, the schedule, the location. I'm sorry. This is,
God.
As someone who's planned a wedding, like, this is unforgivable. Like, I know Ramona's, like, ditzy and that's why we love her. But, like, come on. All these people then went onto the website and made fake RSVPs. Like, hi, Lisa Vanderpump is coming. Like, it was just a mess. Planning a wedding is so hard and chaotic. And, like, I'm sorry. This, I know people make mistakes, but, like, this is not okay.
Yeah.
Ramona's unwell.
Yeah. I wonder what this will mean logistically for, obviously, they have to clean up the website and whatnot. They're not going to move the wedding or the date.
Yeah.
They're just probably going to have to get additional security. Though, like, actually, I think people would actually show up outside just to see. Just to see.
Also, the RSVP guest list was on the website. So people saw Jennifer Aydin was obviously invited. Jackie Goldschneider was invited. It's in the article. Can you read who it said was invited?
Yeah, but it's RSVP via website.
I don't know.
Like, not in the mail, you know? Okay, here are the attendees, or people who were not going.
Oh, not going.
Margaret. Hold on, sorry. Most notably, Margaret Josephs and Jackie Goldschneider appear to have been invited.
Right.
Jennifer Aydis, Dolores, and Melissa also made the cut. Okay, you would hope
obviously.
So. She also invited Luann, Kyle Richards, Kenny Moore, Cynthia Bailey, and Ramona.
I saw, and I don't know if it's real, it was like a thing going around Bravo, like Instagram, that Teresa made Kenya one of her bridesmaids. And I just, like, I don't know if that's true or, like, people were fucking with the website because Ramona let so many people in. But, like, if that's true, I just want to say how weird I think that is. Like, they met on Ultimate Girls Trip and they definitely connected. But, like, what?
Yeah, that is weird, especially knowing that Melissa's not going to be one.
Right.
So if it's, like, lifelong friends, Dina Manzo, obviously.
Of course.
That's understandable, but that would not be. I'm surprised that Ramona even got invited considering how unpopular she was on Ultimate Girls Trip.
That's true. But I think Teresa, like, wants it to be an affair of girlies, you know?
Yeah.
This is what you do when, like, you're a housewife.
Yeah.
You make it, like, a Bravo event.
And Ramona lives just down the street.
Right, over the bridge.
Just over the bridge. Okay, that'll be fun. Wait, so when's the wedding?
No, totally. And where is it? No, it's not spread
information. No, but it is right here on the website. Not the date, but the location.
I'm just curious where the location is.
It's in New Jersey.
On the invitation. Oh, I never heard of it. It's black tie.
Bryce, do you want to go to a wedding, Bruno?
Literally, ring bearer.
Bryce wants to go to a wedding with him and Magnolia.
Bruno boy.
We've, like, been ignoring him a little bit.
He's been, like, exploring. Let him live his life. Anyone? He's Jacob Tremblay. He doesn't leave the room.
Ready to LARP, my friend? Are you having so much fun with mom? Look at him on the mic.
He wants, Bruno, do you have something to say?
He always has something to say. Do you want me to say it for you? He's lost his courage.
I know what he wants to say.
Magnolia, if you're watching, I love you so much. Please come over sometime. I'll make us pina coladas. We could sit on the roof. It'll be amazing. Please, Magnolia, I love you.
Please,
come.
Magnolia, I'll sing my original song for you. Razzin's razzin, 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 razzin's razzin. He reacted strongly to that song.
Okay, and by the way, for all the people who always message Snitch when we say anything about her and put it with a negative spin, please let her know that Bruno would like to see Magnolia at her earliest convenience.
And while you're at it, please stop watching this show. Like, you are causing dissension between our family.
Like, anytime we say anything about Snitch, oh, I didn't like her jacket.
Yeah. Margo called me, what'd you say about my jacket? I'm like, literally nothing. All I said was that I have no fashion sense and I didn't like your jacket. Like,
what big is it? Whoop.
Big whoop.
Like, watch the toast.
Yeah. Oh my God. Please stop fucking doing that, snitches.
But if you are going to snitch, like, tell her to bring Knowles for Bryce because yeah. He's forlorn.
Totally.
Tell her Bryce is forlorn. Just write that. Thank you. Are you ready for our next story? MGK is introducing his mom who abandoned him as a child to his Instagram.
This is so, like, crazy.
Machine Gun Kelly is introducing his fans to his mother a year after the pair reconnected for the first time since she abandoned him as a child. The singer posted a photo throwing up two middle fingers as he sat closely beside his mom, who perhaps ironically was holding up a peace sign. He said, introducing my mom. They both looked happy to be together, flashing big smiles for the camera. The backstory is that he was born in Houston, Texas to missionary parents and was abandoned by his mother when he was just 9 years old. He revealed in the lyrics to his song, Burning Memories. It says, yeah, this one's for the mama that I never knew. I took acid just to burn all of my memories of you. I guess now I really want to know the truth. How'd you leave your only child at 9 for another dude? He also sang, all the years that you ignored me left me sleepless in the bed. I hope that he got some kids because your only son is dead. Then his father, who raised him, died in July 2020, and he had said at the time, I've never felt a pain this deep in my life. Aww. Then in June 2021, he tweeted, wild story, but after all these years, the fans are responsible for me and my mom finally reconnecting. I love you.
I mean, this is a nice story. I just, like, I mean, obviously, I don't know what that's like, but I can imagine, like, I would be so, like, bitter if that were me. Yeah. So it takes, like, a really magnanimous, mature person to do that, and I find it really admirable, but, like, couldn't be me. I'd be so, like, you're kidding, right? Like, now, like, I'm famous. It's easy
100%.
To want to, like, claim me. And I'm, like, literally one of the biggest rock stars in the world. But, like, what if I was just, like, an accountant? Would you give a shit?
Right. And it's, like, I don't need you now. I needed you then.
Yeah. No. So, like, I'm, like, mad on behalf of MGK. And I know, like, he's not mad. So I have no right to be. But, like, I feel like, I don't know. Like, this is, like, extremely fucked up. Like,
yeah. But he also, like, how old is he? It's, like, 32. So he's had, like, 25 years of madness.
Yeah.
You're just learning these facts.
Right. Maybe it gets old getting mad.
Yeah. And you have to release the anger. I don't know if, you know, what kind of relationship he'll have with his mom, but maybe he's ready to forgive but not forget. Because you can't forget
that. No. And it's, like, I guess there's something, like, deeply even more hurtful about being abandoned at 9. I think a lot of kids are, like, abandoned at birth. But, like, to have spent, like, almost 10 years with your kid and then, like, not be interested, like, that's so hurtful.
Yeah.
It also reminds me of Piece by Piece by Kelly Clarkson.
Everything does.
No, I literally watched that performance of Kelly Clarkson on American Idol, 9 months pregnant, hysterically crying with Keith Urban, like, once a month.
I know, and it's just, like, so sad because...
I know, it's all about how great her Brandon, new man is.
You know, is not like... her father.
Right. The song lyrically is like, you know, her dad abandoned her, wanted nothing, and then, like, came back to her for money, obviously, like, years later. And now she has a man who's going to treat their daughter, like, exactly the way a man and, like, should.
Piece by piece, he's healing her.
And piece by piece, like, he's never asked her for anything, even though they're literally in the divorce proceedings. Like, what did he want? Like, $1 million a month?
And a house and the ranch. In Montana.
Yeah.
And now she's like, just fucking leave me alone. And she says, I don't talk shit about you on the internet.
Wow, I guess.
You made yourself look bad wanting my house. That's what she said.
That is what she
said.
That's what she said. And you know what? I actually didn't really put together how probably, like, personal that song is for her. Like, she can really relate to it.
Yeah, that's why she's going so hard.
Totally.
And now she's happier than ever.
Literally. But I'm happy for MGK. Like, good for you for being the bigger person. Could never be me.
Yeah. We should do an episode where we do all 5 stories and we have to find a way to relate them back to Kelly Clarkson.
I think it wouldn't be hard.
It would be a breeze.
It literally wouldn't be hard. Let's do the next story. I'll find it. I'll find a way.
Okay, a little human interest story for your 5th story on Friday to usher you into the weekend. And I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to pose a question to you.
Okay, what would you do?
A woman discovered $36,000 hidden in a sofa she found on Craigslist, and she gets a reward after returning the cash. California woman.
She returned it?
She returned it, ended up getting more than she, because if she didn't, she wouldn't be telling people.
Right.
Wound up getting more than she bargained for in her Craigslist haul. After moving into her new home, Vicky Modu decided to do some furniture shopping online, according to KABC TV. Then she came across a listing that seemed too good to be true, a set of two sofas and a matching chair that wouldn't cost her a dime.
What?
After calling the seller to make sure the free listing wasn't just a gimmick, she learned that the furniture belonged to one of their loved ones who had recently died. So I guess they just wanted to get rid of the furniture. And once the furniture was inside her house, she noticed that there was something tucked inside one of the sofa cushions. Initially, she thought it was a heating pad.
Can relate to that.
He must have had a Bryce in his life. However, it was actually a number of envelopes filled with $36,000 in cash.
This is literally like the book we just read, Younger Wife.
I was just thinking that. And without hesitation, she contacted the family to return the money, and they gave her $2,200 in cash.
That's it? Okay. If it were me, I definitely would return it. Yeah. Like, I think, you know, some person might open this up and, like, maybe they fell upon hard times and, like, this was God's way of, like, you know, giving them a miracle. And I think in that case, like, legally it's yours. Like, keep it, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think I would return it. I would feel weird, especially if I knew that this literally belonged to, like, their dead grandma or something.
Yeah. It's giving Younger Wife. Like, yeah. Why were they stocking all this money away?
No, now they have some, like, research into their family history. Why someone would be, like, snuggling money into a couch.
Yeah. I like to think, you know, that I would keep the money, but I would not.
I wouldn't.
Not for a second. And because
it could be too much money.
And also, like, it could be someone else's miracle.
Right. And also, like, I don't know. I don't think this is like a blanket statement for like what happens when you find money. Like, I found $20 in a cab once and like I definitely kept it.
Well, what else are you going to do? You could have given it
to the driver. But like, he didn't sit in the back seat. I knew it wasn't his.
If I found $20 in a cab, I would have left it for the next person to like turn around their day.
You know what I think I did actually? I think I paid for the cab with the 20.
Keep the change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That works too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so let's find a way to relate this back to Kelly Clarkson. I actually think that this couch story is kind of like an analogy, a metaphor about what Kelly's going through with her divorce. Like, you know, she has all this money and she was giving it away. I don't know.
I can do it.
Yeah, okay.
Kelly would have returned money. Kelly would.
Yeah, obviously she's like a multi-millionaire. Yeah, she doesn't need 36 grand.
She would have returned it. And maybe the sofa itself was from her line at Wayfair.
I forgot. She's really just like us. Mogul.
Mogul. Just like us.
Just like us.
I can't see the difference.
Let's dive into the TV recap. What do you want to do first?
Kardashians, because that's in the order I watched it.
Me too. It was a really good episode. I feel like everyone's storylines were like really
strong.
Obviously, Kim's was the strongest. Let's just dive in. We got Pete and we got Plain. Mm. And I loved both equally. I think the way Kim talks about like the place that she's in her life, I find like really inspiring. Like, she doesn't give a fuck. She has so much peace. Like, she's really reached a level in her career and her personal life where like she's just happy and things are working out. And I just feel like that's like after years and years of hard work. And just the way that she spoke about like the peace that she has, like, I was incredibly jealous.
Yeah, no, and but that she worked so hard. She was, as she says, so desperate for so many years. And I don't think the peace and the happiness feels as good as it does when you don't do that.
Yeah,
you
know? Of course. So you're not even able to recognize it unless for years you were worked so hard. Right.
But if you're, you know, happy in your 20s and 30s and at peace, then in your 40s it feels no different. So I think just the stark contrast,
yeah,
for her is really enjoyable.
I loved hearing about how her and Pete met, like that she took the first step asking for his number. And when she said she called the SNL producer, like, she definitely called Lauren. Lindsay Shookus.
Oh.
Ben, yeah. Affleck's girlfriend, because she was one on the couch with Kim, like, talking her through the whole SNL thing.
And I guess if it was Lauren,
she'd call Lauren.
She would have said Lauren. Why? Lauren is the one who took her to dinner and asked her to do it.
No, I know, but like, she didn't call Lauren. She called Lindsay Shook.
Like,
for
Lauren,
sure.
Lauren loves Pete.
Yeah.
I agree. She definitely didn't call Lauren because she would have said Lauren. But Lauren does love Pete. I'm sure Lauren has a bigger ship than us.
Not possible. So I thought it was really interesting how they met. And then like just hearing like their phone interactions, like how they speak with one another. Like, she called him babe. Like, I was not okay.
Okay, so that's really vindicating for me since I am.
I thought
babe,
of you.
Babe.
I thought of you immediately.
Thank you.
It wasn't cringy when she did it, so.
Is it cringy when I do it?
No, I just think the word babe, like, is cringe. Like, in books I read, I'm like, ugh.
No, I agree. I'm like, who talks like that?
You.
Me. But it's not cringe in practice. Like, try it. Try it around your house. And also, like you said, like, it's kind of cool.
No.
If you could pull it off.
If you could pull it off. I know myself, like, I'm not pulling it off. Like, I call, it's like, we have our own
try
language.
It. Oh, right. You're a Moofy Crunchalicious, Moofalish Diet Coke.
Big Daddy Moof, yeah.
Just try it. Say, babe, get me a Diet Coke.
Babe, what are you getting? No.
Sorry. I like that.
No. It's just like not me, you know?
Okay. You have to know thyself.
So obviously, like, the big question at the end of the episode was like, what the fuck did Pete have delivered to the plane?
Right. And why couldn't we know?
So a lot of people thought it was weed gummies. Like, they're not going to put that on the show. But like, I don't think Kim does weed gummies. Like, she doesn't even drink.
Yeah. Okay. That would explain why we couldn't know.
Or maybe it's like a spoiler for next week.
No, I think it's probably weed gummies. That's a really good point. Because I thought it was going to be like, you know, beignets or donuts, like something that she loves.
Or like a balloon or flowers.
And it did seem like food because Pete had these delivered. And it wasn't flowers. They would have showed us.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely something of an illegal substance.
Yeah, which is so not Kim. She's so crazy.
Yeah, no, she's always like CBD.
Literally.
She probably took it up a notch. I mean, doesn't Pete smoke a lot of weed?
Yeah, like that's his thing.
He definitely had blunts delivered to the plane.
Kim doesn't smoke blunts.
She's a changed woman. Maybe that's why she's so at peace.
Totally. Even though Chloe didn't really have a major storyline this week, I just wanted to say, like, I love her so much. Like, the way she was... It's just like every episode is she's like, who can I support? It's so admirable and it's so selfless. And like, she was giving her mom actually really good advice. And then I thought it was so cool how Chris was like, this was Chris's big moment. She's like, wait, Chloe, come in and say what you said. Like, get involved, steal a spotlight for a second. Like, I just found like that could never be me, obviously. I just found that to be like so incredibly like honorable and like really admirable.
That Chris had her come in.
And Chloe was like so happy to put everything that week on the back burner, just like support her mom, who's clearly really nervous about something that is a big deal.
And like when she's drawing the bath and the bubbles, like, I didn't even know that's how you get more bubbles. Me neither. Like, she's just a queen.
It was so like, it was shocking because she's like, you know, she's like a bad bitch, so funny, everything's about Chloe. But she really is like the most supportive person in their family.
Yeah. Like, and she needs support.
I know. Who's especially next week.
Obviously, her sisters support her, but like, she needs a Pete.
She needs a businessman, beau. Like, she really, I think that like, obviously, her life is very fulfilling, but I think she gives so much to others that I think at the end of the day, she gets in bed and she's like, has nothing left for herself. I really feel that way.
And that's when someone needs to come in and give her that.
Right, so if she had a stable, good man at home who wasn't running around getting other women pregnant, like, I do think that would do so much for her mental health.
Yeah. What about a comedian, Bo? It's clearly working
anything,
for her sister.
Anything. I'm not picky.
She doesn't want to be with an accountant. Like, MJ told her and she said, no, grandma.
Like, she needs to be with the guy that MJ met at Dick's Sporting Goods. Like, that's who she needs.
Of course.
Someone who can just be there full-time to support her.
Like, full-time job is loving Chloe.
Yeah. It makes me so sad. Maybe, and like, knowing what's coming now next week with the girl he got pregnant, it's like, this bitch can't catch a break. She's out here doing everything for everyone and like, her life is also falling apart.
Yeah. She needs Bryce.
She definitely needs a dog.
I think she has.
Gabbana, whatever.
Yeah, and then that's sad too, the dog's passed away.
Right. She needs a man. She really needs to like, stop dating athletes. It's not working out for her. She needs to seek love elsewhere.
She needs
Match.com.
Locks Club.
Yes, yeah, something. And I kind of want to watch Chris's masterclass, even though, like, when the clips that we saw, she was saying a whole bunch of nothing. Like, in order to get to where you are, you need to be where you need to be. Like, what does that mean?
A little bit, yes, of nothing. Some things she was saying, but I also think for you, you know what this isn't news to you because you're doing what she's saying.
I just like, I want to hear like from the horse's mouth.
No, I know. Cause she said from start to finish, she's going to show you how to like build your business
and like be authentic. And the way she was talking about like audience interaction, like she was on point.
Yeah, she was on point. But I just have to like tell you something. You've built your business.
No, like, I know. I'm not looking for like advice. I'm looking just like, cause I love Chris.
Oh, I was going to watch for advice.
You know, I think like what she knows, we know, like we've been,
that's what I'm saying. That's why to you, it sounded like a word salad. Because it's
oh,
obvious.
I guess. It was a word salad, though.
I hate a word salad so much that, like, I love it.
Another iconic part of the episode was the Gwyneth Paltrow of it all.
Yes.
Now, was that conversation, like, so awkward for anyone but me?
Oh, I loved it.
No. Gwyneth is, like, literally this maternal queen. Like, Courtney's just awkward. And honestly, Courtney was also giving me really awkward vibes when Kim was, like, opening up about Pete in the kitchen. Like, I think Courtney's just, like, awkward.
Relatable.
Yeah, because she was making me like really uncomfortable with Gwyneth. Like, and I do love the sentiment. Like, there can be space and people are always pinning Poosh against Goop. But I think the misconception that they had is like, people aren't pinning Poosh against Goop because there can't be two women in wellness. People are pinning Poosh against Goop because Poosh literally copied Goop. The name, the branding, the concept, like, it's really similar.
Yeah. And it's not because they're both women.
No, it has nothing to do with that. No. There can be multiple women in wellness, but like, there is like a little bit of an awkward thing, like the whole celebrity wellness website Poosh Goop, like,
yeah, Two O's?
Two O's, like nickname. It's similar. So I just want to say, like, there is space for two women in wellness, but that's not what, like, the internet is quaking about.
Yeah. And honestly, I hadn't really thought too much about it recently. Like, now that Poosh is pooshing and it's been around for a while and it seems like they do really well, like, I'm no longer like, oh, she's copying Gwyneth or anything.
No, like it's, that. Like, over. But, like, when it launched, it was like, oh.
And I also think that in the years since they both launched, like, wellness and all that, like, woo-woo stuff has become a lot more
popular
mainstream than when Goop first started and they were selling, like, a crystal for $500.
No, and, like, they were getting, like, so much backlash. Everyone was making fun of them. But, like, really, they persevered and they're valued of over $1 billion.
Really?
They have skincare. They do podcasts. They have clothing, G-Label. It's incredibly popular with, like, a niche group of people, but it's, and they did the Netflix show.
Yeah, the Netflix,
it's incredibly popular.
Yeah, no, and Gwyneth is more popular than ever.
She looked amazing.
And she's clearly, like, you know, people, even if they laugh at Goop or whatever, you can't deny that whatever she's doing.
Business.
And also with herself, she's doing something right.
She looked amazing. I'm, like, literally obsessed with, she's, like, top 10, one of my favorite celebrities.
No, and, like, she has what it takes to be on a reality show because I just want to hear her talk more.
No, and I love that she, like, did the show. Obviously, like, the collab is good for everyone, but it's, like, really good for Poosh because it gives Poosh, like, a label of legitimacy in the wellness space because Goop is the top,
yeah,
top tier. So it was very cool of her to, A, like, put out an olive branch, 2, agree to be on the show, and 3, like, sit down with Courtney. It just, honestly, I didn't think I could love Gwyneth anymore, but, like, she was giving everything. She looked literally radiant. I was like, I have to go on Goop.com, like, it's working.
It will never not confuse me that Goop and Super Goop are not different. Related.
I completely agree.
Goop should acquire Super Goop.
Just to
free idea.
Just to erase confusion.
Yeah, no, and because I love Super Goop, I'm wearing their, no, I'm not wearing their sunscreen today, but usually I do. I'm wearing my Thrive Cosmetics, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
I love Super Goop. It's the real deal, and so is Goop.
No, I was extremely confused as well.
And they're both
goopy. I was extremely confused.
Free idea.
So I just loved that scene. Even though it
probably
cost
them 100 mil.
No, literally. I loved that scene. What else? I think Kylie and Kendall were not in it. Scott was, like, kind of in it. What phrase was Chris trying to say?
Couldn't.
She wasn't right. She was, like, she was misunderstood.
And why didn't they just Google it? Should we Google it? What was
she
the
wanted
first
to say, like, hone your skills and blank your chops.
Hone your skills and bust your chops.
No, but that's what they were saying. Bust your chops doesn't mean...
And chops.
She's looking for a phrase that goes blank your chops that means to hone your skills.
Oh. I should have Googled it when she was saying it.
It's not a phrase. That's why no one could think of it.
Honing their chops. Oh, okay.
It's, like,
yeah,
not a thing.
Because nothing was
coming to
signaling
mind.
Signaling for,
yeah,
me. Yeah.
So all in all, it was a really good episode. Obviously, next week is the Tristan of it all. And I'm curious to see, like, how that goes down. Kim is the one who finds out first. And I believe she's the one who tells Chloe.
Yeah, but I believe that she's going to get the call in the gym and then the episode's going to end. So we'll see it in 2 weeks.
That's very E of them. So I just want to say I'll be disappointed because we're supposed to be getting more substance.
Yeah.
That I will not be happy.
No, that's what it's going to be. Otherwise, there would have been more in the preview.
Yeah.
Of when Chloe finds out.
That conversation between Mason and North in the back of this car, like, I was literally going to cry. That was so sweet.
So sweet. And they really should watch Blended.
I knew you were going to say that.
Because obviously, like, the stereotypes of step-parents in movies is really negative and nefarious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's doing damage
to Blended families. Actually. I agree.
And I think just Blended is out here alone negating those stereotypes, and the kids need to watch it.
It was actually a really blended themed episode because Gwyneth was also talking about the blending of families, how she didn't even live with her husband for the first year of marriage because, like, it was just so complicated with the blended families.
Yeah.
But now they're in a good place. It takes time. So there was a blended kind of aura around the whole episode.
Yeah. No, if, like, they should have, right when Kim started dating someone new, she should have, like, had her kids watch this movie, and all the Kardashian kids, but also kids in general, because we were like this too. Like, when you love a movie, you watch it over and over and over again, like What a Girl Wants when we were kids. So they would be watching Blended over and over and over again, and then they'd start, like, wanting
feeling
to
it.
Blend a family.
You know what I literally cackled at? I don't remember what, like, the context of what she said, but Kim was in her interview and she was like, or I'm just a whore. I literally, like, I was just not expecting her to say that, and I don't even remember what she was talking about. I, like, audibly, like, cackled. I was like, what?
Yeah, when she was saying how, like, at first she was just DTF with Pete and she wouldn't want to share if their relationship wasn't going anywhere because,
oh, right,
then she'd look dumb or just
like
a whore.
Yeah, I cackled. That was so fucking funny.
Yeah.
And that was obviously, like, clearly her thought process.
Yeah. But I need to meet Pete because, like,
well, I have hope now that he might be on the show, like, next season or something.
No, but I want to meet him in real life because the way that people talk about him, and she's not the only one. Like, recently Jack Harlow, like, interviewed him and talked about how, and he said the same things about Pete. Like, he's so genuine. He makes you feel
so.
You
know what it is? It's the Benefect. Pete has the Medifact.
Pete. So Kim's coming for your man.
100%. Next. Because she was like, yeah, he's funny and that's what everyone knows. But like, that's literally like, I don't even care. Like, that's not it.
Yeah. But just the there's way something she describes about Pete. Him, like he's Jesus. I want to meet him and I want to know what she's talking about.
He has that Ben factor, potential cult leader. If you use your powers for good or evil, like you either become Pete or you become Keith from Nexium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
So The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills also was on last night. And honestly, like, I feel so confused. I don't know what's going on. I feel really confused for a lot of reasons. One, like, I do feel as though Garcelle has found herself in a place where she's kind of like the voice of reason this season. Mm-hmm. When Erica was like, you know, a lot of the victims could be lying about not getting paid. I can't, like, beyond. But I'm confused by Garcelle because her, Crystal, and Sutton are close, correct?
Sutton and Garcelle are extremely close. Sutton and Crystal are good, I would say, friends.
It seems like she's trying to drive a wedge between Crystal and Sutton.
Yes.
Because, first of all, and she's just like, she's calling Kyle out for being a potster, which she is, but like, Garcelle is the biggest potster. Last week, no one even mentioned how like, she was the one who made that whole couch scene into a fight because Sutton and Dorit had already buried the hatchet. And then this week, she brought Crystal over and then she threw Crystal under the bus. Like, you were setting up Sutton in that bar scene in Tahoe. So she's kind of like, she's the voice of reason, but she's also like a big time potster, but like no one's saying anything.
Yeah, I do think for Garcelle, the way she's coming at it is like Sutton is her real friend in real life and she's coming to all of these situations trying to defend her friend and it must have bothered her, this thing from last season. Also last week, she wanted all the girls to know that her friend Sutton is fine with Dorit now. Like she keeps trying to help Sutton. Sometimes, you know, it has the opposite effect, but sometimes it doesn't. And I do think, I mean, any goodwill that like Crystal earned last season, because I liked her by the end of last season.
It's a second season curse. She's having a bad.
She didn't have an amazing first season, but she had a fine, decently likable first season. After these two episodes,
okay, so let's
like kind of the worst.
No, okay. So last week I was like, I couldn't follow what she was saying. I thought she was being really sensitive and like distressed.
Impressed.
And then this episode, I feel like she's doing literally the same thing she did last season. And she doesn't want anyone to like come at her for the words she's using. But okay, let's be real with one another. When she said what Sutton said, she said something really bad before like the footage that we saw, and that she it was really dark and disturbing and problematic. What came to mind for you?
Oh, nothing specific, but if I had to conjure something up, like I don't know, she used the
a slur. I thought she said like maybe like the N-word.
Right.
So she's putting this out there. And so that's obviously, I think, where a lot of people's brains went. And not only is she not clearing it up, she's doubling down on the words she used. And she doesn't want anyone to come at her for the words that she's using.
But she's not going to share what Sutton said. But here's the thing. I mean, the fact that she won't share what she said makes me feel like
It's really bad or it's not that bad?
It's a nothing burger.
Right.
And she can keep using these big words to justify like why because she eventually... Because
nobody knows what it is.
But yeah. Right. And also, if Sutton had said something really that bad or used a slur,
they would have
aired it.
Yeah.
And also, in this moment, they would be showing it.
Yeah. Maybe they don't know what she's talking about.
Right.
And Kyle was there. And Crystal keeps dismissing Kyle because she was drunk. And so, like, it is possible. Like, she was drunk. Remember, she was in the splits and the margaritas. It is possible that she doesn't remember. But Crystal's just being, like, really weird, like, gatekeeping this whole situation.
Yeah. No, I'm completely not with her. If she would just share what it was, we could deal with it and move on.
And Sutton knows what she's talking about, though, because they said they had a conversation and Sutton apologized.
No, that's about the what we did see. Yeah.
Oh.
Sutton is now worried that she said something that she forgot.
Right, right.
And that's why she just doesn't want to deal with it. But I think actually
they're making it into a bigger thing by being like, I'm not saying
it. No, like Crystal is just throwing Sutton under the bus because if Crystal had what, you know, whatever it is to back up what she's saying, like she would share it.
Yeah. I also felt like Garcelle's question to Crystal about that scenario was kind of random and like out of nowhere. Like, I don't feel like she was trying to set up Sutton in that moment. I think they were having like a heated, drunk, awkward conversation about race.
Yeah, but it's obviously something that was on Garcelle's mind for a year. And
right.
In the interest of talking about things that are happened been on our mind ago. For a year, here we go.
Yeah, so Garcelle is like really turning into like someone I am like rooting for like the most, even though a lot of her actions do confuse me. Like, I don't know really what her goal is ever, you know?
Yeah, I think her goal is to
protect
vindicate
Sutton.
Her friend and be interesting on the show.
And also, like,
and keep it real. Like,
call out, like, a lot of the hypocrisy in this group.
Yeah.
Lisa Rinna was not in this episode.
No, but there's now drama between Rinna and Kathy Hilton.
I literally cannot keep up. I have no idea what's going on. Like, with this guy, Patrick. I don't know.
And something like text messages. I wasn't keeping up until today. And all I saw today was that, like, she discovered that Kathy Hilton hired someone to leak something about her.
Yeah, I can't follow it, but we'll get there.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, Erica didn't go to Sutton's party. I'm, like, so over Erica. Like, the way she's just so rude. And I like how she apologized to the entire group. She's like, I know last year, like, I was wild. Like, you know, and they cut to all the clips. And every clip, she's yelling at Sutton. And so she doesn't feel like she owes that apology to Sutton, but she even feels like Sutton owes her an apology. Like, it's so moronic.
Right, and when she was sitting at the table being like, Sutton didn't apologize to me, she apologized to everyone. It's like, wait, you're mad that Sutton didn't apologize to you? Would you even accept an apology from Sutton? Like, you guys are so far gone, you're beyond apologies.
Yeah, beyond apologies. She's really pissing me off.
That's why you're not going to her opening, because she didn't apologize? Like,
yeah.
You can't even have...
justify.
Like, yeah. I like Sutton's dress from the designer.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about the designer. Like,
I mean, the whole thing is so silly, but I did like the dress.
It was fine. The whole thing is so dumb.
Yeah. And I have a really dumb question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is couture as opposed to just like...
Couture is like runway stuff as opposed to like stuff that just gets in the store, which is ready to wear.
Are you sure?
No.
I want to Google this. Maybe it's like the way it's made. Maybe it's like...
Atelier.
Yeah, something. What is... Because, like, Sutton doesn't even wear... some things are on the runway or in the store.
I think couture is, like, stuff that's not sold in stores.
What is couture? The design and manufacture of fashionable clothes to a client's specific requirements and measurements. So it's custom.
Mm-hmm.
Why not say custom?
Literally. It's haute couture.
Okay. Still, I'm confused.
But yeah.
Whatever. She only wears couture.
No, and, like, it's not even that cute. And, like...
I liked the dress and I liked the beat.
No, and it's like, okay, you have this couture store and you sell Kyle X Shahida. Like, make it make sense.
Good point. I also want more Diana Jenkins.
Which is, it's obviously nice of Sutton to carry like Kyle's crap, but it's like, it's off brand. Yeah. It's not haute couture.
Also, her store says Sutton established 1979. At first I thought that was when year she was born. And I was like, oh, that's really cute. She was established in 1979, but that's not the year she was born.
Oh.
She has a store.
Because that would make her like, no, that would make her like what, 43? No, yeah. It'd make her four, that was really good math. It would make her 43.
Are you sure?
Just Google is Sutton Strack birthday.
But I don't think she's 43 is what I'm saying.
You think she's older or younger?
Older. Sutton Strack age. 50 years. She was born in 1971. Maybe the one wasn't.
A nine.
The nine was a one.
Yeah, it was like one with that little curly thing at the top.
Okay, interesting. Then that's really cute because I was like, has she had a store for 40 years?
No way.
And we keep having openings?
No way. So it was cute. It was fun. They're going to Punta Mita, like a trip is, like we need the trip, like for something to happen, like
yeah.
For real.
Yeah, yeah.
But like they're all like distressed.
Even though they just came from Palm Springs.
They were there for one night.
Yeah.
When they were sitting there in the morning, I'm like, oh, what are they doing today?
Going
leaving?
Home.
I was shook.
Where's Diana?
What do we want? Diana. When do we want it now? She chartered the plane for next week. Like, thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Queen.
Thank you, Queen.
And I just want a Diana reality show.
100%.
And I guess that's it.
It would be, what would we be called? Hold on, let me think. Doing Diana.
Yeah.
Do it with Diana.
Princess Diana.
Love. Okay, that's our show. It's Friday, you guys.
Speaking
I hope you can.
Prince Strice.
He's being so good.
He was so good, you guys. Look, it's Strice on Strice because I have the pillow right here.
He was probably shook. It's like looking in a mirror.
I love you, my angel. I love your mommy.
Thank you.
Are you happy you came to work with mommy today?
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Show, The Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe. And give this video a thumbs up.
Wait, what do you want people to do?
Subscribe.
How could they do that?
Make yourself a Gmail account and subscribe. Like, click subscribe. What else? Oh, okay. And give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast. Anywhere podcasts can be found. So Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us more and just leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Have an amazing weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
An amazing weekend. Make it amazing, you guys.
Amazing.
Because it's the weekend. First weekend of summer. Enjoy. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbibbity, bye. Strice, I love you.